I'm going to call the special city council meeting for November 17th, 2020 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Tebow?
Here.
Mallory?
Here.
Brandt?
Here.
Kukoski?
Here.
Rab?
Here.
Hukard?
Here.
Johnston?
Here.
For matters of proceeding with tonight's meeting, I'm going to ask that nominations for Mayor Pro Tem come next. And if you could, will the councilmen, when they speak, please say who they are so I can recognize your voices and get the right names. For nominations for Mayor Pro Tem.
You just want us to openly say who we
right. Make a nomination for who you want to be the mayor pro tem.
I would make a nomination that it be Sarah Johnston.
Okay, we have and who are you?
Oh, Ashley Brandt. Sorry.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilman Brandt to nominate Sarah Johnston for mayor pro tem.
This is Diane Rabb, Mayor. I'll second that.
And we have a second by Councilman Rabb. Sarah Johnston, is there any discussion? Any further nomination? If there's no further nominations, will the clerk please call the roll to vote on Councilman Johnston as Mayor Pro Tem?
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Brandt?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Rab?
Yes.
Hukard?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mayor Pro Tem Johnston. I look forward to working with you and the rest of the council in the future. Under
thank
public.
You, Mayor.
Pardon?
I said thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Under public comments, this is the time for the public to make comments to address any topics that are not on the agenda. People wishing to address the council should come to the podium or when they're called upon, introduce themselves. For the public record, comments are addressed to the mayor and council, not to any staff or other participants or other audience members. At this time, I'll open up for public comments.
So at this time, I'm going to go through our list of participants one by one. I will address each of you by the last four digits of the phone number you are calling in from or your screen name. At that time, I will send you a request to unmute your microphone and give you a chance to address council. Please follow the symptom prompts to unmute yourself. I no longer have the ability to unmute participants. And with that, we'll get started with Chrissy Hartman.
No comment, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Roy Hartman.
No comment, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
Welcome, Mayor Tebow, and I have no comment, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1136.
Good evening, Trudy Lofgren. I'd like to welcome all the new members to the council, and I have no comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. Up next, we have caller 6027.
Pass, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7653.
This is Louis Balance.
just wanted to welcome the new mayor, new council members, and do like to see the front page of the city's website updated with the new mayor's and the new councilman's council members contact information, so we can contact directly to talk about issues. Other than that, the council meeting, and do want to also bring up 2.5 weeks ago, I was in town at Alice's restaurant waiting for to meet with Senator Schmidt, and I was going to try to use the city's Wi-Fi blanket that we're supposed to have downtown, and there was issues with it where I couldn't get onto it. So I called city manager Eustace and talked with him and found out that there's some sort of an issue, which we as the public should have been you know, notified that there was an issue with it, you know, so we could you know, not be expected to use it or whatever. But anyway, we need to get some directions on the website and in the City Review magazine on how to use it, where it is located at. As it being a public utility, we should be, you know, fully aware of where everything is and how to get on it and use it and all that. So anyway, as soon as I can get the contact information on there for the new members and the new mayor, I'd be in touch with you guys directly to talk about some issues. Okay. Other than that, that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. And Mayor, that was all the public participants we had tonight.
Would any of the councilmen like to address any of the issues that were brought up? Okay. No,
I can answer those questions.
Okay. Ms. City Manager Eustace would like to address some of the comments. Yeah.
Lewis brought up two issues: updating the website with the current council, and we can do that tomorrow. We're gonna make sure we have the right emails on the site, and that can be updated as early as tomorrow. We still do have an issue with our Wi-Fi blanket in downtown. Our service is through Air North. They've been here multiple times over the last couple of weeks, and they cannot seem to fix. We have multiple antennas around the city in Washington Park and on some of the lampposts downtown. And they've had Charter here. We have the internet is hardwired by Charter to the router in Festival Square, and they cannot seem to repair it at this point, but they're continuing to work on it. It might be something, you may have to look at it, a better internet service provider or somebody different in that respect if they can't fix it soon. So Lewis, we are still working on that, and hopefully we can get that resolved here before Thanksgiving. I think that's all Lewis had to address at this point.
Sorry, Tom, this is Ashley. Just questioning, you have Charter that goes to the pavilion, and then Air North is doing something from there?
Yes, we have hardwired internet service for Charter that goes to our Wi-Fi internet blanket in Festival Square and downtown. Air North set all of that up. They put in all the antennas and the router for wireless. Do that. They don't have a process that they can do that. So that's why we had Air North do the wireless blanket. And it worked well for about a year. But now we've had multiple issues through the summer and into the fall with it. It comes and goes. They've got it back online for a week, and then it goes back off. And so I think we're going to have to look at a different internet service provider to help us with that.
Is there any sort of warranty?
Do you think charter might be the problem?
I'm just asking
just simply because I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fine, actually. We don't think so. It seems like charters, I mean, we're getting internet to the router. It's okay. just that the wireless side of it doesn't work. Outside of the router, it's not going out. So if you plugged in Charter's line into a computer, we get internet service. So it doesn't appear to be Charter's issue.
Is there any kind of warranty on those routers there that are installed through the town?
That's a good question, Brad. I mean, they've been in for now about a year, and Air North installed all of that. I'll look at the warranty. I mean, the warranty was probably a 90-day warranty, and it was a significant cost. We spent about $13,000 on that whole project. That's something that we seriously should look at, Brett, and see if we can get some of the money back if it's not workable.
I would assume it's either the parts or some sort of interference. That's just my opinion, though.
Right. Yep. Right.
Tom, I'm assuming we are paying a monthly fee to Air North as well.
Yes, we do. Yep. We pay.
Now, is that something, if it's not working, should we still be paying?
Likely not. And I don't know if we have paid the most recent bills, at least over the last 2 months.
Okay.
Because of that, because the service is not there.
Okay.
We've held off on the current bill.
Yes.
Is that it? Okay. Moving on to approval of the agenda and receive and file all communications. Is there any communications that have come in prior or after the agenda was set?
No, I don't think there's nothing to add, Mayor.
Okay.
So we should be okay with the agenda.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda and communications. This is Diane, Mayor.
Got a motion by Councilman Rapp, but is there a second?
Casey Hooper, I'll second.
And a second by Councilman Hookart to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications. Any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Now moving on to on the agenda 6A. Because it's the approval of the City Council meeting of October 27, 2020, the only ones that can make a motion or vote on this part of the agenda are the ones that are actually sitting on council at the time. Because the rest of us wouldn't know if the agenda or the minutes were right or not. So is there any additions or deletions that prior councilmen know of?
Mayor, those minutes looked thorough and correct to me. This is Mayor Pro Tem Johnston. So I'll make a motion to approve the prior meeting minutes from the council meeting of October 27th, 2020 as presented.
I have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Johnston to approve the regular meeting minutes of October 27th.
This is Diane. I'll second.
And we have a second by Councilman Rabb. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item number 7, bills and disbursements. Prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020. Any questions?
I have one.
Okay, Councilman Kogoski.
Bridges.
Yes.
Item number 38. Verse.
Number 38, the MERS?
Correct. Can you tell me what the unfunded liability is at this point in time?
No, I mean, I can get you that information. I wouldn't have it off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to get that.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions in regards to this section, part of the meeting?
I would like to just point out a couple of things just because we do have some new council members. We do look at our prepaid and unpaid bills the first meeting of every month. And what you'll see on here, some of the things I wanted to point out were the trust and agency disbursements. Those are taxes that we've collected. You can see the dates in there. Those are the dates that we collected the payments. And then we then send those funds on to Sheboygan Area Schools and the county when we collect those payments for them. And we also had a number of debt payments. We have a lot of debt payments that are due on November 1st. So you do see a lot of those debt payments, which are typically only twice a year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Bridget, I have a question about number 31. This is Mayor Pro Tem Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of two questions, and I don't necessarily expect you to have the answers, but do you know what the status of the loan is that we have approved Jason to apply for? And I'm also wondering if we can get a tally maybe at the next council meeting of the total that we've spent on this project so far.
Yes, I can definitely get you to the total that's spent. I run a vendor report and I can get you that the next meeting. As far as the status of the loan, I don't believe we're expecting to get funding until next year from the state revolving fund, but I don't know the exact deadlines for those.
Okay. If we could get that information from Jason, perhaps in an update sometime maybe within the next couple of months, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Any further questions from council? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020.
Diane. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilman Rabb. A second?
This is Ashley, I'll second it.
And we have a second by Councilman Brand. Any further discussion? Okay, the motion is made by Councilman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Brandt to approve the prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020 in the amount of $873,328.39. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Kukoski?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Hukar?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Brandt?
Yes.
Paid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020. Any questions?
I have one question on this one, Bridget. This is Mayor Pro Tem Johnston. I was just curious about item 23, blood draws. I was just wondering what that was for, if that was something that we mandated, if we had a potential COVID exposure. I was just curious the background behind that.
That would be for a criminal investigation.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And Bridget, these are all just bills that aren't due yet, or like what is the purpose of this?
So during the month of October, I prepay bills with items that we could potentially get a late fee on or just our typical operating like consumers or our debt payments and things like that. Any item that I can postpone paying, I put together in this report, and these are just our unpaids that I'm just waiting for approval from you before I pay those.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? I'll entertain a motion. Disbursement for the month of October 2020.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020 in the amount of $47,417.
Okay, do I have a second?
This is Brett. I will second.
I have a motion by Councilman Gokoski, seconded by Council Mallory, to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2020 in the amount of $47,417.71. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Rab?
Yes.
Bucard?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Bran?
Yes.
Kokoski?
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay, moving on to item number 8 under general business, consideration of the POLC successor union contract. City Manager Eustace, would you care to?
Yes, absolutely, Mayor. This is kind of an unusual situation here. A city council can go into a closed session to discuss a labor contract in this case, but we really can't do a closed session online. So any comments related to this contract will be a record. At the advice of Phil Nance, our labor attorney, he says that's okay. Just make sure that any comments that the council makes will be of a public record. That's the reason you can go into closed session, so you can have some detailed discussion. But in this case, we're going to have to do that in open session. The police collective bargaining agreement expired on June 30th, 2020. Phil Nance is our assigned labor attorney by council to negotiate for the city with the police union. We've had some negotiations over the last several months. The organizational committee, which was made up of myself, Mayor Pro Tem Sarah Johnston, Councilman Brett Mallory, and former Mayor Pro Tem Nick Kuchar were part of the organizational committee that met and reviewed the makeup of the contract and what we should do to improve the contract for the police. We have a retention issue in our police department. We have lost, we had some retirees, and we have lost some new personnel that we hired that were very good employees. And one of the reasons we have lost that personnel is because of our wages. We're not really competitive with wages in the local area, and also retirement. We changed about 6 years ago. We changed the police retirement plan from a B4 MERS retirement to a hybrid, which significantly reduced their pension over time. And I think that had a great deal of effect on keeping young personnel as they come in. They see better opportunities out there for both wages and pension funds. So the organizational committee and the administration and Phil Nance addressed that issue. We made some significant changes to the contract. One, the employee pays 6% into MERS from their wages. The proposal is to change that in the first year to where the employee pays 3% and the city pays 3%, which that, and it only applies to 4 employees. There are 4 employees that are currently under the old pension plan, and they do pay 6%. That's not going to be affected. It is only for the 4 employees that we have currently, and any other new employees that come in will fall under this contract. In year 2 and in year 3, the city will pay all 6% of that employee contribution, which will be about, with the 4 employees currently, that'll be about $12,000 annually. with the four employees at a 3%, 3% split, that'll be just under $6,000 for the first year of the contract. The other significant change is that we are proposing a 5% increase each of the 3 years of the contract, which is a significant increase, but it gets us closer to and more competitive with what the county wages are and other municipalities in the area. We're still under many municipalities in the area, but at least with the increase in wage and increase in the pension fund, we hope that that will help us retain officers. And we have some excellent young officers right now. And we want to train them and keep them here in the city of Sheboygan. Over the last several years, we've lost a lot of good officers. We spent a lot of money on training officers, and they're here for a year or 18 months, and then they're gone. We got to start over. So with this contract, we are trying to remedy that situation. It does add additional cost. The first year is going to add about $27,000 cost across the board in wages and the MERS program. Year two, it's going to be just over $40,000. Year three will be an additional $44,000 in costs. So that's the recommendation of the committee and our labor attorney to enter into this contract. We will, the council, at some point we'll have to address the revenue side of it. We are okay for this budget year, but we are going to need to either levy a special assessment, which the council can do. The city of Sheboygan is a special assessment district. In 2018, we set the entire city limits as a special assessment district for a special assessment for police and fire. All municipalities are eligible to levy special assessments without going to the vote of the people. It's only by a council decision. We looked at that in 2018. We looked at levying 2 mills, but the council decided at that point that it wasn't necessary. But going forward, we're going to have to find some additional revenue to help pay for this contract. Otherwise, we're going to have to lay off within the department or lay off in other departments to satisfy this contract, which isn't what we want to do. We have the right staff to manage a police department right now. We don't want to downsize it any longer anymore. So again, that's the recommendation from the committee and our labor attorney to enter into this contract. We also, we have another revenue source with medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and the permit fees. That's gonna help. That's gonna add some additional revenue to the general fund. But we seriously need to fund the police department and the fire department with some assistance of a special assessment.
Tom?
Yes, Ken?
How much revenue does 1 mill generate?
I don't know if anybody heard that. Councilman Kukuski asked how much revenue a special assessment in 1 mill would generate. You levy the special assessment on taxable value of real property only. You can't levy it on personal property. Our taxable value of real property is 101 million right now. So one mill special assessment would generate $101,000.
Thank you.
So we went 2 mills, $202,000. So every mill would generate $101,000. We have police budget currently is about 800,000. So that would add about 1/8 to it, or if we went 2 mills, about a quarter of what we have now.
Tom, do we have any idea, this is Casey Hucourt, do we have any idea on the union side for the police? Is this something that they would be happy with?
Yes, absolutely. The veteran personnel are happy with it. And the new personnel are very happy with it. Yes.
Pardon me? Tom,
yeah, and Chief Jones just mentioned that they have voted. They've ratified the contract. They have approved the contract. This is the final step. The city council has to approve the contract to put it in place.
Other than the funding in years two and three, is this something the city can live with?
Yes, I think so, Mayor. At this point, we can handle it budgetary wise, but okay. I think going forward, we need a new revenue source to help fund the police department.
How about you, Chief Jones? Is this something that's up meets with your approval?
Yes.
Because you have to, ultimately you're the one that has to.
I just got to try to keep the guys here.
Yeah. Any other councilmen have questions in regards to the union contract?
What do we currently have for police officers?
The number of police officers?
Yes.
We have eight hourly personnel, including a sergeant. Ron White is a sergeant. And we have the police chief. So we have nine personnel total. Again, only eight of them are union. The chief is not union personnel.
And we think that by doing these things, this will provoke our younger, newer hires to stay long-term.
Yes, we believe that's the case. They've indicated that the new police officers indicated that they would be more willing to stay under this contract. And it's gonna give them a nice boost in pay. I mean, the fact that they don't have to pay 6% in demurs in year two and three really goes to the bottom line of their salary. So it's a very significant boost for our younger personnel. And again, this only affects, other than the pay increase, affects across the board, all eight of officers, but the MERS side only affects four personnel right now, because the four veterans are in the B4 MERS plan and they still pay 6% in, but they also get a much better pension at the end of the day than the new personnel that's coming in. So, and this will give them the capabilities. We have a 457 plan. Municipalities have a 457 plan, which works like a 401k plan. So this will give the young officers the ability to invest in a 457 plan to help boost their retirement. Because it's difficult under this MERS plan that the newer officers have, they can't collect it until they're age 60. So it's rare for officers to work to age 60. And this will give them the ability to invest in a 457 plan so they can retire at 55 or earlier, because they're gonna need money before their pension kicks in at age 60.
And I guess I'm just looking from an outsider's point of view, so I apologize if this doesn't make any sense, but we're talking about a pay raise within 2 years, and then you're maxed out until the following year the increase comes. As a person, I would feel that in year five, year seven, year 10, I would still deserve a substantial raise for staying with this department. Is that not how police officers work in a union way? Like,
every 3 years this contract will come up for renegotiations, and at that time the wages will come up for negotiation. So basically, every 3 years, they can negotiate pay raises.
Right. Yeah. I hope that answers the question. This is a three-year contract, actually, and then it'll have to be renegotiated in year three.
So the pay increases are only for the first 3 years of the contract, and the contract expires, then you have to start the process all over again for negotiation of wages and retirement.
Okay, and so my question, I guess my question then to reword it would be, are people that are staying with the police department for a long term, Mr. Hartman's been with them for a long term, are those people getting benefits because they stayed for a long term?
They're getting benefits based on previous contracts. Yes, and the pension plan was much better for those veteran officers when they came in. That's part of the issue. The pension plan that we have now for incoming officers is nowhere near as good as what was negotiated for those veteran officers through the years.
I just want to make sure that those veteran officers are getting taken care of on a level that is obviously higher than somebody that's only been with the department for 24 months. I guess that's my thought process.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, because of the pension plan that those veteran officers had when they came in here, that's why they stayed. That's what we're trying to get back to, is trying to offer a better retirement plan for these young officers so they stay with us.
And Tom, we're going to be generating about, what is it, about $5,000 per license from the medical marijuana per year?
Yes, that's absolutely.
Plus whatever any taxes. So in the hindsight, I mean, we have to come up with very minimal dollars to be able to make up this difference if we use those funds towards this.
Yes, I absolutely. I agree with that. And once both the permit fees, that we have permit fees on the provisioning centers, the retail stores, the grow facilities, we're going to have two grow facilities in the industrial park. And those are $5,000 permit fees. They'll probably be multiple permits.
Okay.
For grow facilities. So yeah, that, and then once the sales tax kicks in, for the recreational side, it's going to add another significant amount to the general fund.
Perfect.
And then another question I had when I was reading through this, do all of the police officers also have to be on the fire department?
No, not any longer. We train them all to be drivers. If necessary, but no, we changed that they do not have to be trained. They can volunteer to be trained as officer, as firemen, if they want to, but yes, it used to be that a police officer would also be trained as a firefighter, but that is no longer the case.
Thanks.
Tom, is this the first contract they've had
the opt-out? Yes. Yeah, yes. Right. Okay. Any further questions from council in regards to the police contract?
I have one, Mayor. This is Mayor Pro Tem Johnston. Tom, what in the contract that we're looking at on tonight's agenda has changed from our last discussion, if anything?
I don't think anything, Sarah. The only thing that's probably different than what we had discussion on is the length of time that an officer gets to full pay. We had discussion that they could get to full pay in 18 months. Phil Nance recommended that that was too quick, that he talked to Hal Tallien, who's the union negotiator, and he said 24 months is more of a standard to get to full pay. And then Hal Tallien was okay with that from the union side because he said the city manager can bring anybody up to full pay at any time. So if an officer is performing, they're outperforming our expectations, the city manager can bring them up to full pay at any time. So the union was okay with that. But that's the only thing that was different from our original discussions on the contract.
Tom, under this contract also, that if an officer were to come from another jurisdiction fully trained with 5-6 years experience, you at the time of hire could bring him up to full pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Also. Yes, that is correct.
Make this job more appealing.
Yep, absolutely. That is the right of the city manager and the chief. We can start at the top level based on experience.
Any further questions from council? Okay, if there's no further questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the POLC successor union contract as presented.
This is Diane. I'll make a motion to accept it as presented or approve it.
And this is Casey, and I'd like to second.
Motion by Councilman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Bukar to approve the POLC successor union contract as presented. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Bukar.
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Brandt?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously. 9A, city clerks and treasurers comments.
Sure, Mayor, I have just a couple of items for you tonight. First of all, you have a revenue and expense report. This was something that the prior council had requested. It's just a quick snapshot into where we're at as of October 31st for our major funds as far as revenues and expenses. This is only for informational purposes. But if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask me. And then the other items I wanted to address tonight, we are looking at doing council training in early 2021 with MSU Extension, and that would be for all of our council members, anyone who's interested in any of our boards and commissions. Last time we did a parliamentary procedures training and also extraordinary governance. So I'll give you more information once I know more. And I also wanted to give a huge thank you to the Election Commission and to all the girls in the office, Judy Sanders, Casey Clear, Katie Dutchkowski, and Brenda Temple. Without them, the success of our local election would not have been possible.
Thank you. Any questions to the clerk? No questions for the clerk. The city manager's report.
I have a few items. First off, it's obvious that we're going to have to meet online for at least the next 3 weeks. So the city council meeting scheduled for next Tuesday, November 24th, will be a Zoom meeting, just like this evening. And any meetings of the city going forward will be digital. Zoom meetings. We likely will have a planning commission meeting in December. We'll get back to the recreation commission. We did cancel the recreation commission for tomorrow night. So we normally meet live and we just weren't prepared to set up a recreation commission meeting. Kate Schultz may use GoToMeeting. She uses that for the housing commission. But that, again, will have to be a digital meeting, virtual meeting. And we'll have to operate like we were back in early part of the year, other than we are not going to close City Hall. We're going to operate as we are right now. You can come in and pay a water bill or tax bill, but we're going to encourage that the public use the internet. You can pay your tax bill or utility bill online. And we also have a Dropbox outside of City Hall. So if you can, if the public can come in and just and put their bill in the Dropbox, we can get it out and get it recorded without having any interaction. We're gonna try to discourage as much face-to-face interaction as we possibly can for the next 3 weeks. After tonight, for this 3 week period, the rec center will also be closed. We cannot operate those facilities based on the health department's orders. And that's going to be for the ice rink. That's going to be significant because we're just now starting to get into the bulk of the youth season and men's league and women's league, and the high school team would normally be playing right now. And they buy ice every day. So we have a significant amount of revenue loss here for the next 3 weeks because we typically sell ice every day and it's booked from 3 p.m. till 10 p.m. and then even more so on Saturdays and Sundays for games. So that's going to hurt us significantly here for the next 3 weeks, and hopefully it doesn't extend past that. You know, the rec center doesn't cost us anything, but by having that closed, we don't generate any revenue from the rec center, but it is used a lot this time of year from pickleball, youth nights, boys and girls nights, and so forth. All of that is not happening, and we haven't upstarted that yet anyway, but there's a lot of activity that happens there during the school year that's not going to happen. I don't see anything. The rec center, I don't see opening before the first of the year. On a good note, I guess, we have a DNR Land Trust grant in for fishing piers along the east bank of the Sheboygan River, Major City Park. We have a $308,000 grant from Great Lakes Fisheries Trust. We applied for $300,000 for the DNR Land Trust. We should know whether we get that funding early December. We got our scoring. We scored 380 out of 500 points, which according to the Lindsay Ross of the DNR might be the highest score of all applications that were submitted. So it looks pretty favorable that we're going to get funding for that. And if we do, we'll start the fishing pier project in the spring of 2021. That's a good thing. We're going to tie it in with the children's trail in Major City Park. Try to clean up that east bank of the river, which is visible from Main Street. And we've already taken out about 100 ash trees on that side of the river that were dead. So we're trying to make that aesthetically more appealing as you come into the downtown. And I finalized the U.S. Coast Guard City application. It's in. They gave us an additional time. Originally, when we sent in the Coast Guard application, it was July that they were going to make a decision. But with COVID, it got backed up. They reopened the application in late August. And they gave us until November 13th to submit any additional information regarding the Coast Guard cities. And that will go to a committee of the 9th District in mid-December. So we'll get a determination on whether or not we qualify as a United States Coast Guard city. There's only two in the state of Michigan. Traverse City and Grand Haven are both designated Coast Guard cities. So we're hoping to be the third in the state of Michigan. I think our application is pretty strong. If we don't get it, I think we can make some adjustments to it and reapply in 2021. But I think we have a very good possibility of being designated Coast Guard City and that would be a great thing for our community. And we probably, and this is for Brett and Councilman Mallory and Councilwoman Mayor Pro Tem Johnston, we have an organizational committee that was working on this search for the city manager position. We now have resumes in, and council should have copies of those resumes, but I think the organizational committee probably should meet, and it could be a conference call just to review those resumes and get thoughts on what we should, or what our next steps might be and who we should interview and so forth. And because former Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar was on that committee, we need a replacement for Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar. So, and that's really up to Mayor Tebow to make that decision. But I would like to add a third council person to help us review those resumes.
Is there any councilman interested in being the third member on this committee for the search for the manager?
Yeah, this is Diane, and I would be.
I'll make it real easy. I'm going to appoint Councilman Rapp to be the third member of that committee.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Councilman Rapp.
Thank you.
Any other questions in regards to the city manager's report?
Yes, I have a question, Tom. This is Diane again. Have we heard anything on the Hope Network or the housing going in over on Western? Or what's the status on either one of those?
Yeah, as far in regards to Hope Network, they did not get MISHDA funding. That was announced in late October. They did not. There were 17 housing projects in the state of Michigan that were funded, but Hope Network was not one of them. I do believe that they will apply again in April to try to get that funding. It's been kind of a precarious year to work mm-hmm. through that.
Yeah, I bet.
Hopefully, they can score a little better. They didn't score high enough to get in the funding source. So maybe they. MISHDA will make recommendations to them to help them, you know, get a higher score, and hopefully they can get funded in April. And the Sheboygan Estates project is moving forward. It's going to be a little slower, I think, than what the investors initially thought they could do, which I think is a good thing. I think we are going to do it in phases, and the first phase will not require any of the roads being put in, at least the Luma Street extension and the Stemke Street extension. We think we can get in at least 16 houses and use water and sewer off of Western Avenue. So the investors are looking at that first, and then we'll see how they can market those 16 homes before they move forward with the rest of the project. But they haven't closed on the property yet, but Alex Levin, who is one of the investors, is buying the property no matter what. So we just need to continue to work with them. We ran into a couple of issues. There's a power line that runs through the property that we had to find easements for. Consumers Energy didn't have them, but Jim Granger did find the easements for that. And there's also a drainage easement that ran across the south end of Carol Stemke's property that was from the city. It's a 100-foot wide easement, really not used for anything. That might have to come to council to reduce that easement to 50 feet. If we get it down to 50 feet, they can build in that area. Right now, they would lose probably 60 houses along that south end of the property if we didn't reduce it from 100 feet to 50 feet. So that's going. I think by the spring we'll see some homes there. It's just that it'll eventually be a big project if the sales go well. So I'm glad they're not overextending themselves first. That's kind of what the direction they were going was. They wanted to put in 100 homes in the same year, which is basically impossible. They can't get them for one thing. But so I think it's becoming much more manageable. I think it'll be a good project in the end.
Mayor Pro Tem Johnston here. I have a question about the Hope Network project. The application for the MISHTA funding, this was their second application, correct?
It is. They submitted in April and again on October 1st.
Is there a limit to the number of applications they can submit? Or if things don't go well this April, what's the future of this project?
Right. There is no limit. I mean, they can submit twice a year. But you're right. If they don't get the funding, they aren't going to do the project. I don't know really from the state level if they've given them recommendations to improve their scoring. They typically did. I mean, that's in April, the recommendation from the state was to increase the number of units from 40 to 66, and that's what they did. But it apparently didn't give them enough scoring. So in talking with David Emmel, who's now the president of Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, that funding source is difficult to get in rural areas. They typically fund the Southeast Michigan area, populated areas more so than rural areas. So he's going to try to work with them, and he's a former MISHTA employee, and he's going to try to work with them and try to improve their scoring and make suggestions to see if they can get the funding. But I think if they don't get funded next year, I think they'll quit. I think they'll try it twice next year. And if it doesn't work, they probably won't do the project. Anything else?
Any other questions for Mr. Eustace? Okay, committee updates.
Any committee updates, or we haven't really had meetings?
Yeah, no meetings. The Historic Commission is deactivated at the present time, but we're hoping to do something with that next year. And the CCE 911 board canceled last month, and the next meeting is scheduled December 2nd. So I can update you on that if anything comes up.
Any other councilmen have committee updates that they sit on?
Yeah, I have some stuff for the DDA. Let's see. So the DDA is going to be taking over Brandon Weir. He's one of the new people on the DDA. And he is the head of the events committee there. And so he talked with the chamber, and the events committee there is going to be taking over the 4th of July parade, the holiday Christmas parade, and the summer concert series. And basically they said they're going to have the chamber focus more on the businesses. And I think that's a good start for Brandon, because events committee was kind of short this year for obvious reasons. They had the scarecrow stroll. You guys probably, if you walk up and down Main Street, you probably saw all the scarecrows around town. And they had voting on that. William's office won both the judge's choice and the popular vote. So they're going to get $100 a grant from the DDA out of that. There was some trees planted on Huron Street, and those were gotten through a DDA vibrancy grant as well. And there's going to be 30 8-foot pine trees that are going to be put along downtown and the Festival Square area here pretty quick. And those were they were sponsored by local businesses and families.
my understanding is the some of the city workers are going to be putting some lights on, I believe, and then they're going to be decorated. I'm assuming by families. I don't know. Do you know, Tom, who's going to be decorating those? That's going to be at the end of the month, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure exactly, Brett, but yeah, they have some volunteers decorating.
Okay, gotcha.
Different business.
A lot of business owners stepped up and sponsored this whole tree lighting and tree event. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, 30, that's a lot of trees, I think. I mean, that'll fill in pretty good. We just had a workshop tonight right before the meeting. I was there for a little bit, and I know they might still be talking, I don't know, but one of the things that they discussed at this workshop was they wanted to see if they could get some of the businesses to put, you know, some of for the vacant properties. They wanted to get some of them to put signs. I don't know if it was going to be in a window or on the property somehow, but saying soon to be such and such property, just so, you know, some of the people who maybe aren't involved in the downtown or tourists or whatever, you know, there was mentions of, you know, hey, is anything going on in this property or what? And so, you know, in rumor, you know, the rumor mill gets going. Oh, I thought this was going here. And, you know, so they were going to try and get that going. And I thought that would be a pretty, pretty good idea. And that's really all I have to add.
Any other committee updates?
Mayor Pro Tem Johnston here. Since our Parks and Rec Commission meeting was canceled for tomorrow night, we're going to continue to work on our Recreation Authority plans, probably via email this month. Kate and I may or may not meet virtually, depending on if that's necessary. And Diane, welcome to the Organizational Analysis Committee. I think perhaps after this meeting, we should get a time scheduled in the next week to start reviewing these resumes and reviewing the process.
Thank you very much. I have looked them over, and I'm eager to do that with you. Got some interesting candidates.
Any other committee updates? Okay.
Are there any committees that need council members to go to now that we have a new team?
I didn't hear. Could you speak up a little bit more? It was kind of hard.
I'm sorry. Are there any other councils or any other groups that need council members to be sitting on them now that we've changed? Nick's not here anymore. I don't know if he was doing one. Mr. Temple, was he doing one?
I asked Mr. Eustace to give me that list so that we can update and appoint members, and he's going to get that list to me in the next couple of days so that we can appoint people to it. I felt that we should move forward with the organizational appointment tonight because it is really important that we get going to find Tom's replacement. So that's why I made the move tonight to appoint Councilman Rabb to the committee.
Perfect. And just a quick clarification, possibly. That group of people is going through the resumes, getting it narrowed down to a few choices, and then we're all discussing those people again, or are they making the final decision?
No, the entire council should discuss it again. Yes, I think the committee will just review it and make recommendations, but certainly the entire council can make their own recommendations. Mm-hmm. And we may, I mean, typically in a situation like this, we've had the entire council do interviews, which makes sense. We don't want to just have a few people making interviews. I think oftentimes it's better to have all council members present during the interviews and make their own opinions. So that's likely, that's something the organization committee needs to discuss, and
I was just curious simply because Mr. Hucard does this for a daily basis job, so he should probably be involved in some way, shape, or form. So if it's coming back around, we should be good to go.
Yeah. As mayor, I plan to have the entire council involved in the interview process of the finalists. And I also might want to make a recommendation just out there that we visit the municipalities that they presently work for, just to kind of see get a feel for their
evaluation.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Mayor.
No problem. Anybody else? Okay, communications and messages from mayor and city council members. I'll start it off, and I'll just probably address Mr. Valens' question. Starting this Thursday from 12 to 1:30, my wife has a business located in the downtown area between Hive North and Attitude Beauty Salon, and she said that I could use her office from 12:30 to 1:30 on Thursdays to have people come in and talk to me that can't get to a city council meeting or would rather talk outside of city hall, just to you know, give their concerns or whatever. And then that's Thursdays from 12 to 1:30. And then also I've talked to the township supervisor for Inverness. I've talked to Chairman Wallace and Commissioner Sangster from the city or from the County Board of Commissioners and myself, I'm going to draft a letter, which Mr. Yusuf said that he would email for me to Chris Jones, the project manager for Meyer. And she, if we can't get this back on the front burner, I understand with the pandemic and everything, things have probably taken a back seat, but I think I should, as the incoming mayor, make contact with them and show that we are committed to Meyer's project, not just at the township and county level, and see if we can't get this thing kick-started again. And when I submit that letter, I'll have City Manager Eustace email a copy of the letter to all the council members, just so they can see what I wrote. So they know. I have nothing further. Anybody else?
Great idea, Mayor. This is Diane. I think that's wonderful. And I think it's great that you're making yourself available to people to come in and talk to you that maybe don't join these meetings. And I would just like to welcome Ashley, Casey, and Ken to the council. And I'm glad to be on it again for a full 4-year stint. Looking forward to lots of good stuff coming out of this group of people.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you,
Diane.
Mayor Pro Tem Johnson probably got the toughest job reeling me in at times.
Well, I will do my best, Mayor.
Hey, Sarah, once we start meeting in person, all you have to do is remember to give them a little elbow in the rib.
Yes, well.
I'm sure if you need help, Sarah, Diane will back you up.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for the nomination and the vote. I appreciate the confidence that you place in me, and I will do my best to back up our new mayor and welcome everybody. I'm already excited just by the energy that we've had in this meeting today. I think that we've got an awesome next 2 years coming up, and I do look forward to it. And if now's a good time, I do have a couple of things I'd like to address that I would like probably Tom to answer. So my first thing, Tom, is that I noticed that Mr. Bishop has built a fence across Antoine Street.
Yes, and we're addressing that. I wrote him a letter, told him that he must remove that. If he doesn't, Chief Jones will cite him to get the fence out of the right of way, because it is in the right of way. It's not in the street that we vacated. So we'll cite him if he doesn't remove it, and then if he doesn't pay the citation and remove it, then it's a misdemeanor. Could be a misdemeanor charge. So yeah, we're addressing that. And I don't want to say anything derogatory, but I think he just thought that was part of the vacation. He kind of takes things into his own hands, though.
I'm a little disappointed with the way that he has handled this. When we were discussing the vacation of Clinton Street in the very beginning, he was very earnest with counsel that his intentions were only for public safety, and I've seen a lot of towing the line since then. I feel like maybe his pleas to counsel at that time were not entirely in the spirit of what he intended.
Right.
Put it that way.
Entirely straightforward. Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay. And my other question is about the alley that's between C and D Street. I've had a couple of phone calls with Mary Chiava about the approach to that alley off of State Street. And she forwarded a couple emails to me, and I have a few concerns with the way that that's been handled. It seems like she's, first of all, getting the runaround from city staff, not necessarily getting direct answers to her questions. But I'm also curious as to why the response seems to be that the city can't do anything about that. Jason mentioned that the adjacent property owners need to pay for sidewalks, but it's the approach to an alley. It's not adjacent to anybody's individual property. So I'm just curious as to how this is going to be addressed moving forward, and if she can expect an answer from somebody at city shortly as to how we're going to handle it.
Yeah, I've had some discussion with Jason, but I'll talk to him tomorrow. I know he believes that it's MDOT's responsibility because it's a state highway. So I'll see what, I think he has cited to Mary Chiava a state law that says it's their responsibility. But I'll talk to Jason and see if we can rectify that whole issue, because it is a bad approach. It does need to be repaired. It's just a matter of who should repair it.
Right. So I think maybe the message that needs to go back to Mary is that it will be addressed. It's just a matter of this. We have to figure out if it's the city or the state, because I think the message that she felt she was getting is that it's not our problem and we're not going to deal with it. And, you know, you're just going to suck it up.
Yeah. All right. I'll address that with Jason in the morning, and we'll figure out how we can rectify that situation.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thank you. I'm all set for today.
It's me again. Just to clarify, on the window of my wife's business, it's got my name, Mayor Les Tebow, and the hours and the day of the week that's going to be on. So if anybody out there wants to know where it's at, 102 South Main. But just look on the windows on the front of the store front, and you'll find it you'll find the right place, because it's got my name and the hours and the day.
Great. 102 South Main. Okay.
Yes. Any other council members have any comments or anything else?
I'll just add the same. Welcome to the new council members. I'm looking forward to the next couple years. I think, like Sarah said, just the energy here, I think it'll be good.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. Yes, Councilor Pekoski.
Yeah, Bridget?
Yes.
I just want to congratulate you on a very good election.
Thank you very much.
Yourself, the staff, and the workers were great.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, and like I said, the girls in the office were huge help.
Yep, you guys were outstanding. Thank you.
Bridget, just out of curiosity, how many more mail-in ballots did you guys have versus, you know, a typical year? Like, was that a significant part of what you guys had to tackle that day?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we had 3 to 4 times more absentee ballots than we would typically have, which is why we applied for the grant and received the additional tabulator, which saved us on the day of the election.
Awesome.
Did more people come to vote altogether, Bridget?
I think we did break some records.
I guess I kind of forgot about it while we were talking to Tom, but Tom, did we get the roof replaced on the rec center?
Rec center?
It's going to start likely on Wednesday, tomorrow. So yes, it'll still get done this year. Doyle Roofing is prepared to do it. So yeah, I think Wednesday or later this week, they're going to start on it.
Tom, are they putting up membrane?
Membrane roof, yes. Yeah.
Okay, if there's no further comments from the council, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second.
Second. Well, second, third, fourth.
Okay, I think I got a motion by
Councilor Fifth.
Seconded by.
I think it was Brett.
Councilman Mallory.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried. Meeting's adjourned.